fame. How's it feel, TD?
Feels great. I mean, like, there's really no way to describe the feeling in terms of what that meant to me. First, when I heard David Becker knocking on the door. And then every day you go out, you just meet people and you see people, and everybody congratulates you on the Hall of Fame. And it's a bit surreal because it happened so long ago. I played football 17 years ago, and now you finally have this sort of honor that hits you way down the line when you didn't do anything else to improve your position with the Hall. You know, I was retired, so it's kind of weird in that way. But hey, man, I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm just grateful.
You were diplomatic as the process played out.
Very.
But was there a point
very.
In a moment
I was putting on a front.
Yeah, was there a point where you thought, you know what, it's just not going to happen, and you had to just kind of deal with that reality?
Yeah. There was a point about the sixth or seventh year when I was making the semifinalist, and I was just constantly making that list. But there was no one talking about me,
right.
And I was like, okay, well, maybe it just wasn't meant to be. And then people would come in, they would go to the Hall, and people would come in, and I was like, man, maybe it just wasn't meant to be. And I'd come out and say, if I didn't make the Hall, that I was fine with it. It wouldn't change my career. I meant some of that. I didn't mean all of it. But I think when it happened and the relief that I felt, I realized how much I wanted it. You know, and then about 4 years ago when there became some momentum behind it, and then I seen, you know, people that weren't in my corner started turning and saying, hey, maybe we should take a look at Terrell. And I was like, okay, all right, maybe something's happening. And I remember the day vividly. I'm driving down the road with my wife, and we get a text that said that you made it to you're the finalist for the Hall of Fame. And I almost crashed the truck. I was like, saw the text come through. And we pulled over, and my wife and I were just super excited about it because that was progress. That was like we were now getting to a point where we were in that room, you know. So then I felt I became sort of rejuvenated and about it, and it was like, okay, maybe it's going to happen. Not sure when, but I think it's going to happen. And so I was confident that it would happen before I was old, and it did. So I was happy about that.
So now you go back to going to Greeley, that first training camp a billion years ago, all the way to this. That's freaky.
It is freaky, but it just goes to show you, and I think what's great about it is the story behind it. You know, it's not a typical first round, you know, selection, big school, all-time leading rusher. I was totally sort of opposite of all those things, and yet I was still able to make it to the Hall of Fame. So what does that tell a kid right now who is struggling and is not maybe first team or not at the school that he wants to be at or whatever the situation may be? I find it as an inspirational story for other people, just like Kurt Warner's story, that is unique, and I'm proud of that story being unique because it's not like anybody else's. So, yeah, when I think back to when I first got here and Bobby Turner was on me every day, and I didn't think I was going to be in training camp much longer. Yeah, I think back to that day, and I think, man, wow, it's just a whole 360 from that time. You know, it's totally different. But I cherish that journey. I loved what happened because it made me a better person and a better player, and I wouldn't change that for anything. Almost, man. I'm telling you. Let's just say if I spoke better Japanese, I wouldn't be here. I'm telling you. I was this close to walking out of there, man. Because I looked at everything around me, and I just had no shot of making the team. I was a sixth-round draft pick. I was seventh on the depth charts. I wasn't getting any reps in practice. I had my coach constantly on me. And it just didn't feel like there was any way for me to make the team. And, yeah, for a moment, I had a weak moment where I thought, after practice, I'm out of here. Like, I'm not going to wait to get back to Denver to get cut. I'm going to walk out of here. Thank God I didn't.
And then you made the big hit.
And then I made the big hit. Yeah, I made the big hit.
Have you told other players or teams, I don't know, do you give speeches and tell that story?
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it goes to show you that, you know, my thing is if you quit, the result is always failure. Like, but if you don't quit, you never know what the outcome could be. So quitting on yourself should never be an option, in which I almost did. And so thank God that I didn't. And for anybody that's out there struggling, yeah, I love to just, and when I talk to them, I try to tell them, even if your situation seems dire, don't give up. Just keep fighting, keep fighting, keep fighting. You never know. You know, the only thing that you can control is the effort. You can't control the outcome or the results, but just keep going at it, and you never know how that plays out.
Another Bronco that's got some momentum going is the owner.
Pat Bowlen.
If you were in the room with the selection committee, what would you say on his behalf?
Man, I think you just have to look at not only the history of the Broncos, the success on the field, the way I judge franchises and how they're ran. Pat Bowlen he's run a first class franchise way before I got here, and I know while I was here. It's in the stats. I mean, you look at the numbers. I mean, it's one of the most successful winning franchises in the NFL. But he doesn't get the credit, and a lot of it is because he didn't want the credit. But I tell him, man, don't think about the big names. Think about talk to the players, talk to the fans, talk to the media, talk to people in Denver, and they can tell you what a great owner Pat Bowlen is, and that should make the decision for you. I am confident that Pat Bowlen's going in. Now it's a question of when, and we've got to get more momentum behind it. But I think he's going in, and I can't wait for that day to happen.
Do you think that's one reason why Jerry Jones got in ahead of Pat, because he wanted the credit?
I can't say that, but Jerry is – he's a figure that's – he's out there. I mean, we think about – the NFL and owners, you think about Jerry Jones more than anybody, you know, because he is. He's out there. He's a GM as well. He's constantly on radio, on TV. He's very outspoken. And so, I mean, listen, I'm not saying any of that hurts you. It helps. I mean, it helped me. The NFL Network being on the TV helped me. And I'm aware of that. My name, I had to stay relevant. I had to stay out there so people wouldn't forget me. And so, yeah, if you're out there, people are talking about you, it's easier for a guy to vote when you're on the tip of his mind or his tongue. It's easier for him to say, okay, yeah, I remember that guy. But when you have to dig down to find a name, it's hard. And I had the same conversation with Steve Atwater. I said, Steve, like, we've got to get you out there. Get you out. You know, and Steve doesn't want the credit. I said, I know, Steve. I know who you are. You're very humble. I get it. I said, but we've got to get you out more.
Does it seem like the tide's turned on Broncos in the Hall of Fame? I hope so. Done, but you look at Little getting in, you get in, Champ's going to get in, maybe DeMarcus. I mean, does it look like the pendulum's finally shifted toward Broncos, the recognition?
I hope so. I mean, I think it is. It just depends on the next couple of guys who they're looking at. I don't know. We know who's in that room. You asking the wrong person. What's going on with that room? What's going on? You asking wrong. See, I don't know, but yeah, I would love to get the players that we talked about and other guys in there too.
So many guys that have been inducted have had memorable speeches. Have you started working on your speech? Have you thought about what that's going to be?
Yes, I'm currently working on it right now. It is in my back pocket. I am working on it. Yeah, you know what, with the speech, it's hard because it's your entire life that's being condensed into a 15-20 minute speech. And you're trying to, you don't want to make it a thank you fest, but it could be 40 minutes of just thank yous. I mean, literally, it could be 40 minutes of me just saying thank you. So you try to add some things in your life that you thought were seminal moments that really brought you to the moment, you know, the place you are. And so I'm kind of I'm doctoring it up right now. I'm doing some edits. It's about 40 minutes.
Better do some edits.
So all of you that I had in my speech, you're now out. Because I need to shrink it. Sorry.
What was the process like of getting the bus made, seeing the early stages of?
Oh, that was fun. Yeah, that was fun.
Did it seem really real then when you got to see?
So moments like that is when the reality sets in, and then you just sit there and you just, I mean, I got emotional watching this guy's Ben sit in the room where he's standing, and I'm sitting and I'm just watching television, and I look over and I will glance at him every once in a while, and he's just like, he's piercing it. He's like... And I've never had anybody stare at me that much and that closely. And it's kind of eerie, spooky. But yeah, you look at it and you just think about where it's going and how many years it's going to be there, and it's not going anywhere. And no matter what happens, no one can take that from you. And then the people that it's associated with, the legends and the history, that moment, it makes it more real, stuff like that.
TD, you mentioned there was a time when you said, I'm not sure if I'm going to get in. Do you get a feeling what changed, how these guys finally figured out that, oh, yeah, I guess he should be in the Hall of Fame?
I don't know.
Change the pendulum your way?
I do not. Jeff fighting the battle every year, and that was great. But I don't know. I watched like Peter King, and I watched like Sal Palantonio. I watched some of those guys, and when they started saying he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, I'm like, okay, wow, like that was awesome, you know. And like Peter King wrote this Monday Morning Quarterback article or something like that. And I read it. It was great. And so I don't know. I can't point to one thing. I mean, Jeff, you get all the credit, but I'm going to give you all the credit, give you some credit. No, I don't know. Seriously, I don't know.
Because what saves the longevity of a running back, you know, now they're starting to figure out, wait a minute, okay, this has changed. I mean, you kind of get a feeling that they've all figured out that, yeah, running backs, they get hit more than them. They're not going to be able to last as long. And now they look at you and say, yeah, look what you did.
Yeah, and probably that. I think part of it too is that there's a pretty big gap between. Right now I think there's Edrin James is the next back. I believe that made the top 15.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's any other backs for a while. At least I don't think so. I mean, Roger Craig was in there for a minute, but so I think maybe having that time to actually have no one go in. Maybe that was part of them saying, okay, let's just look at look at Terrell. Let's take a look at him. And I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know.
What was Coach McCoy like as a quarterback, and did his limitations set up basically your career?
Yes. Mike threw me a couple of – I think he threw me a few touchdown passes. I think I made him look good on a few. I think I caught like a slant from him, maybe a post against UNLV.
Are you not surprised that he became a coach then?
I am not surprised, no. There's certain people that you can kind of tell when you play with them and their demeanor, their makeup. You're like, okay, I can see this guy being a coach. So, no, I'm not surprised. I'm glad he's back. I'm glad he's back with us.
Okay,
all right. Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.